All right. Good day, good night, good whatever time you listen to this podcast, everyone. As always, it is Lucius Illuminix with his co-host, R.P.
R.P.
Wilson.
Wilson, yeah.
Wow. And today we are on Jessica Jones episode 4, aka 99 Friends.
And the chain won.
That's what I thought about, but once the line actually came, and I'll actually say it because it's kind of funny, it reminded me of when I was younger, when I was a young lad in the great state of New Jersey. Me and my best friend used to prank call this one guy all the time. And one time he asked where we were, and because he was going to come get us. And my friend's response was, and we were like three-way calling because we had house phones and stuff back in the day with the cord.
True.
And my he said, "There's more than one of us. We're in two different places." So then me and my other friend who was on the line started laughing. He's like, "How many of you are there?" And he was like, "100, ready and armed in your backyard, bitch." And that's when the prank call got too real for me, and I hung up the phone. But when Jess said that she had 99 superpower friends that were gonna check, that's the moment that came to my mind.
That's crazy. Ready and armed. That's ridiculous. Oh, shit.
Was like, nope, too real. Eject,
Yep.
eject.
Was not ready for this. I'm out. But speaking of somebody who seems ready and armed at all times, this man, Officer Simpson.
Yo, Simpson needed answers for his mental sanity, but he goes a little insane to find those answers. He was at Trish's door with a battering ram.
Yeah, man, that's
I'm
ridiculous.
surprised. I don't even know if that battering ram was authorized. He might have called in a favor, because without a warrant, a reasonable reason for seizure and seizure, or search and seizure, he can't come at her door with a battering ram.
Not at all, yo. And not like his partner was like, "Yo, Sarge, I don't even think, yeah, this isn't."
He's like, there's definitely a dead body in there.
Definitely making a whole scene. Saw the neighbors coming out, like, "What's going on here? What's happening? This is a lot of noise.
And then Trish's
What's up?"
apartment wasn't pimped out like that. Which makes me wonder, because I'm sure she got a lot of those special accommodations. This is a random side tangent, but Trish moves out of her apartment. As an owner, how do you lease that one out again? She done got steel reinforced doors, security systems put in place.
Right?
What do you do with that? But anyway.
Exactly. No, duh, for real though, no. How you sell that? Like,
But yeah, Simpson is the first immediately after being Kilgraved effect we see. And it really morphs his whole perspective, and he's really out to prove to Trish he's not a bad person, I guess,
yeah, man.
mostly for himself.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. He's definitely, I don't think it's a thing about him trying to make her feel comfortable. It's more that, he's feeling like you said, he's a goddamn monster when he sees that she's alive and all that stuff. So I'm like, yo, feels like shit.
Yeah. Even though she knows, which is why I said Luke Cage would be amazing if he forgives Jess, because even though Trish knows, she ain't hearing none of that Simpson junk. He's like, nah, your hands were around my neck. I was
Yeah.
seconds from death. I
Which,
can't forgive you.
exactly, no doubt, no doubt. But I mean,
He
does it? Yeah, go ahead.
puts in work to get
Yeah.
her to come around, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because you know he gets her the gun, all that. Then they have that long behind talk and everything like that. I call it the moment talk. Well, I don't call it the moment talk. I saw this apparently, like, it's like a thing where, you know, like when two people, you know, I don't know if they're attracted to each other or not. Really, none of that. I ain't really gonna get into all that. But like, there's like this moment where you talk to each other for like hours on hours on hours, and you kind of like just, you know, divulge your whole life to them, and then they do the same thing. And it's like when y'all really like, it's like the connecting moment. Seems like that's what was happening with the whole door thing between them, and they're talking about like their past and all that, and their family and all that,
Good
and you
vibes,
know,
man. Just straight vibing.
yeah, just straight vibing. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was something crazy.
He
So
burnt
yeah,
Barbie's dream house on a rescue
right,
mission.
rescue mission. Yeah, man. So that story was supposed to be, you know, tying it in, like how he wasn't always a bad person and all that stuff. So that was something cool. And it's like he was definitely, as soon as he, I guess as soon as he got the whole Kilgrave whammy off of him, he's trying to be a hero again, trying to, you know, brought up his whole special ops background and everything like that
Oh
real
yeah,
quick.
I
So
want to
that's
help.
interesting.
And I
I
love
got
to
you
help.
six, all that. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool though. But the crazy part though is with Crit with Trish is, if we can touch on her real quick,
Let's
is
do it.
her having to apologize to Kilgrave.
Oh yeah, on air.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to the little 8.5-year-old girl. That is like one of my favorite scenes of the season.
Right?
'Cause she killed her five lines. Like, I was
She
in full
did.
belief and shocked. She was like, "You're a bitch. You left him there to die like a goddamn dog." And I was like, "Yo, she is turning up right now. It stings a little bit more."
Right? That yo, that thing was crazy. Like, I actually said it was disturbing for me. Low key. It was really disturbing for me. Like, it kind of turned my stomach. Because I'm like, yo, bro, how low can you stoop? You just, like, whammied this girl and told her. And then, like, Jess was like, I'm sorry this is happening to you. Because, you know, like.
She was like viscerally angry and using words her mommy probably don't let her use. And
So,
as a
yeah.
kid, when you get unkillgraved, how do you process it as a kid?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because you know, like, because as soon as she came out of it, or you know, and then she started crying and everything like that, she's looking for her mom, all that. I was just like, yo, that is like, I don't even know, man. That's why it was so disturbing for me.
Yeah, but she's the one who said Trish's apology was good. She's safe for now.
Yeah, so yeah, Trish was solid, but yo, like, but Trish's mom won. Wow, Trish's mom, and then Trish's past apparently. Jeez.
Yeah, she been through it. And apparently she has some alcohol issues too, so she couldn't take Jess's advice and go get whiskey.
Exactly. I mean, she probably had like some substance abuse type of thing. Because remember, Jess asked her about the drugs.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, which is crazy, man. And I know that they're gonna reveal more about her and her mom, not only because we've already watched the season, just because like how they're hinting
Oh
at,
yeah, they
you know,
keep
her
bringing
mom,
it up.
and her mom comes up many times. So that's crazy. That was like, wow.
But what else? And Trish's in a really hurt spot. She's now on high levels of paranoia, and she's got a better perspective on Jess, I think. And she hasn't herself been Kilgrave, but that experience, I think, has her. She understands why Jess was pushing away and whatnot. I don't know if she understood that before.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because of the whole. I mean, being choked to death, basically. You know, that'll definitely throw a different turn on your life, spin on your life. So yeah. Trish is definitely feeling all that. And yo, the crazy scene though, like when Simpson gives her the gun, right?
Yeah.
And like she points it at the peephole. I was like, yo.
Yo, I didn't even catch that. That's real.
I was like legit. You know what I mean? Like he definitely wants you to feel safe and all that stuff. And like he's definitely trying to redeem himself. But you feel me? Like in any moment, she could have probably, if that door wasn't separating them real quick, she probably would have fired off too. And would she have been within her rights? Or not even within her rights. Would she have been within, you know, like reason? Like as an observer, I can't say I would have been, you know, surprised that she did, or like, or I would like admonish her, like, yo, why would you do that? Because I mean, the man literally was choking the life out of you.
Yeah.
And you know, Kilgrave or no Kilgrave, those are your hands around my neck. So I don't know.
I think that's why the her and Simpson vibe moment happened, because they were both working through some stuff. It may have been different stuff, but they each needed to talk to somebody, so they were talking to each other.
Yeah, no doubt, man. The moments was sick. But yeah. But I don't think I have anything else that I wanted to talk about, Trish, really. No. Except for like her moments with Simpson and then, you know, his moments with her. That was really it right there.
Yeah, they're very intertwined this episode. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, man. So I'm thinking Jess. I think I had Jess next on my list as somebody that I really wanted to focus on, and just how she's interacting with other people. Really, I think it was like Jess and her interaction with others and what she was doing and how she was trying to move about.
Yeah, because she's in a very single-minded mindset this episode. There's not a lot going around, but I think it's very intentional that she's like that. Because of that, we got all that freaking Audrey Eastman screen time. I ain't give no craps about Audrey Eastman, but I understood why I did it. Like, as a viewer, you can look at Audrey Eastman and say, she ain't nothing really to worry about. It's just another job. But Jess thinks she might be connected to Kilgrave for I don't know what reason. It's because she's all Kilgrave-focused and Kilgrave-minded right now. And so
right,
we get like footage of Audrey at work. We get footage of her listening to some heavy metal, popping off gunshots in a mannequin's. And I'm like, yo, this lady's not doing anything. Just move on. And the crazy thing is, Kilgrave not involved. I don't think Jess makes that mistake. She got freaking shot. I don't think that happens if she's in her right state of mind.
Nah, no doubt. She definitely doesn't get shot by Audrey Eastman or even pick up the case. Like, Audrey Eastman wasn't about nothing. She really wasn't. It was a waste of time. But yeah, but she's so focused in on just figuring out who's tracking her, who's Kilgrave's spy, that everything else just is blown to the wind.
Oh, shout out to, remember what I was saying yesterday about the picture, the irony of she was being watching somebody else? She actually says in this episode that she says, is this what it's like having somebody following you around, watching your every moment?
Exactly.
So it sort of put her life into perspective. So I wasn't the only one having the thought. She was thinking about it herself. Like,
yeah,
dang, this is crazy. I do this to people.
And then she was talking about, you know, but she does it with good intentions. And she was like, sometimes.
Yeah, I was like, are they always good? Because sometimes it seems personal. Luke.
That's personal.
Yeah, even before they started kicking it, I'm not exactly sure why she kept watching Luke for a whole 6 months.
Gotta be, yeah.
but
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, because I'm thinking. So I mean, if she's watching Luke, she figures out. You know, she figures out she kills this lady Reva Connors, all that stuff. She starts to like remember things. Then she tracks Luke down, basically, right? Because she killed his wife. And I'm trying to wonder, like, why did she track him down after killing his wife? Like, was she gonna like approach him at some point, tell him like, hey, this happened, like. Well, I'm trying to figure out what's her purpose of tracking this man down and then stalking him.
Yeah, I think at first she just wanted to see if he was okay. Why she stayed, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that weird attraction, but yeah, that wasn't good intentions.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But like, once she's going through all this stuff with the case and then Jerry hits her up about the people... Oh.
Yeah, on that moment, another double-sided standard that Jess uses. She walk into Jerry's office whenever she freaking freezes, mm-hmm. and Jerry calls her. She says she doesn't like being summoned.
Exactly.
I'm like, come on, bro.
You can't have it both ways.
Jerry was on a $50 million settlement. She had to get them ramped up all over again, but she can't call you once?
Not even one time, which is crazy. And the crazy thing about that scene was, you know, Jerry talking to the dude Larry and all, and she's like, you know, Larry, you know what people hate more than litigators? Puppy killers. And I was like, you kind of right. People really do hate puppy killers a whole lot more than, like, probably a lot of other things that you wouldn't have expected them to hate.
See, puppy Mike killers Vick? More than.
Exactly, right? I was like, yo, like, people really do love dogs. And I ain't got nothing against dogs. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're like animals, you know. But I'm like, yo, people and their puppies and their dogs, it's like real. It really is. So it's like real love. But yeah, my man Larry really was trying to fight against that. I was like, bruh, you're not going to win this. But yeah, Jeff also gives no... fucks about Jerry's secretary / mistress. She just be Debo and Pastor.
Yeah.
Insulting her dress and all. Like, damn.
Oh. And that crazy moment where Jerry be sprinting straight game, took her mistress to the same restaurant she proposed at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo. No inclination that this is different. Then she looked her ex in the eye and was like, even if I break up with her, I'm never coming back to you.
Yeah, which was crazy.
This is Jerry code buildup. But this is on, yeah, the after the Jerry Jess is pretty Kilgrave centric. Except for when Jess spazzes out when Jerry says, what if he was on our side?
Mm-hmm. And she's like, which side are you talking about, Jerry?
Especially since I think Jerry meant, what if she was on my side?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know how Jerry is. I could win every single case I ever sign up for, even if it seems impossible.
Exactly. She even mentioned that, I think, episode one or two, where she was like, you know, a man who can convince anybody what he says, she would never need to do a jury selection ever again. She a shark. She is crazy sharky. But yeah, but like, you know, that whole scene was crazy though, because, you know, just selecting the people that have been Kilgrave, like the legit people that have been Kilgrave, like the cello player, the pretty black girl that was smiling, old boy with the suit. It was like, damn, this man got a fine suit, a cellist, a pretty girl to smile at him. And, you know, like I'm saying, you know, his taste is refined. He's just a creeper, and he's a scary dude.
Yeah, before we fully dive into Kilgrave, and when you're talking about those stories, another thing I noted was how Jess was too consumed with her Kilgrave mission or finding out why she was being watched. She was too consumed for compassion, like, mm-hmm. This guy just said, I lost my entire life to drive around Kilgrave for a week.
Yep.
Jess was like, wait, where did you drive him? I'm like, come on, Jess.
right?
This man just lost his life.
His wife left him. He got charged with child abandonment stuff. Lost his job. Like, yo, you legit lost the will to live. Lose your kid, your career, and your significant other. And she's asking him, who did he meet? Did you see him? Who is the... I'm like, yo, crazy.
Yeah, and the last thing I think I say on Jess is they also, with the whole Audrey Eastman thing, that conversation mm-hmm. they had at the end,
yeah,
it sort of took a look outside of just the story, reminded you the world was bigger because mm-hmm. there's people who just hate superhumans.
Yep.
Though it was some stereotypical rich people crap when she was like, it's like when they call the people special. They're not special. They're right. retarded. I'm like, yo, you are scum. You're a horrible person. She really is.
It was like you felt for her because her mom died. She got crushed by a bullet. But then in the same breath, you just, you know, you're nasty. And I can't hate you, but I also don't like you.
Yeah, that's why her husband said he was getting that divorce.
Yeah,
I'm glad that whole thing happened, if just for that man to get out.
Mm-hmm. Get out, Carlo. Get out, homie. Because she's not good for you.
Also, she's so dumb to believe that I got 99 friends lie after she found out that laser beams were a lie.
Right? Like, come on. But, you know, she's got more money than sense. That's exactly what it is. She got more money than sense.
Wow, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Just tripping, man. Tripping. But Jess kind of thought she was being Kilgrave, too, because, you know, as Jess was, for Jess, when she told Trish, she was like, yo, it could be anybody or everybody. I don't know.
I think that was the point. We got so much Audrey because Jess is, you know, her character growth didn't happen too much because she's so overly consumed
mm-hmm.
by him in this episode.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, and she's with reason because, you know, now Kilgrave, you just see everybody, every person that he's touched and how he's just like morphed their life for the worst.
Yeah, and then the pictures thing, it's not even just personal anymore. Now it's creepy personal, like we keep saying. Like, man had a whole collage of her face.
Yeah.
That adds a level. This isn't like super villain revenge. You left me to die, now I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got some kind of obsession with you.
Yeah, man, which is like, oh, legit just... It was just like, yo, that's just something outrageous, though. Because I'm like, there's so many things. Because I'm thinking about the stories that people that they told. The legit Kilgrave people, not the high dude or the crazy dude or the girl who just wanted to have sex.
So you want to take that and transition into Kilgrave and just talk about those people?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So yeah, none of those three people, but like the cellist, the black girl, pretty black girl, my man with the suit, and then, you know, afterwards the driver. Like those four people, you know, it's just like even something as simple as my man giving up his jacket and everything like that. He was like, well, you know, it's just a jacket, but it seemed like it was his favorite jacket, basically.
I think that dude like, might have been a little bit snotty, but.
True, that too. But then homegirl with the, like, the homegirl that was just smiling all the time, that's all,
oh, that
that's
one,
all he wanted her to do.
That one was the creepiest. Because mm-hmm. I tried to put myself in her position, and it's like, I can't stop smiling, even though I want to. And mm-hmm. all the other stuff he made them do is really grandiose. You know, you're staying at somebody's house for a couple days. It's like, dang, this is definitely mind control. But if you can't control something as small as stop smiling.
Exactly. It's like.
You out.
Exactly. That, it's like Julie. from Avatar. Take that trip to Lake Laogai. You come back smiling hella hard. No reason why.
Yeah, so that lady got me the most. There was a lady who played the cello till her fingers bled on some whiplash junk. Except it wasn't at her own free will.
Exactly. Sick, yo. And then my man who left this kid.
Yo, that story was freaking tragic. Lost his entire life over Kilgrave. Like, Kilgrave says, got a nice car. You want to drive me, don't you? He says, yes. And he says, you want to leave your son. Left his son on a curb. Because he did that, his wife divorced him and moved across the country. And he got, and he served for, was it reckless abandonment of a minor?
Child abandonment.
And it's like, what did this dude do but make a good enough living to buy a nice car? And you utterly ruined his life.
I mean, yeah, he legit just needs bodies in his wake, and he has no remorse for it because he just keeps moving on.
And this one was like so unnecessary. Simpson's like, okay, you want to kill somebody, gotta be a cop in order to get in. You know, there's some methodical planning on that. The people who ran after Jess and told her she couldn't leave the apartment, okay, you were in a panic mode. But this guy, you could have even said you went to give me your car.
Exactly.
And left him with the car. Now, you stole him for a week. Kept him away from his family. Had him abandon his child on the sidewalk.
It's just like... He thinks no consequences of his actions. He's like, okay, this is what I did. And then, bam, I'm out. You know? It's basically just another tool that needed to be used. It's just like, yo, that's sickening, yo. It's scary and it's sickening. And
what made him use that 8.5-year-old? Because it's very clear that he hates children.
Right? Maybe it was what you were saying. You know, like, it would be more biting if it came from a child versus a grown-up, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Because that's very calculated, I think. A calculated type of, of malice. For me, at least.
Yeah, and then Kilgrave's call. It's Friday. Don't you have something to be doing? Like, you've been spending all week trying to track me down. But I've still been watching you.
Exactly. And I'm still winning, basically. You got a job to do, right? which is crazy. And I mean, I guess the biggest thing, though, was like the big reveal at the end. That was great. That was sick.
Oh, yeah. Shouts out to Malcolm and Jess's interaction at the beginning of the episode, because Jess's response to Malcolm was almost a bit self-righteous. Like, you could keep being high, but I don't want to be another reason that you get high. And Malcolm's response was still caring. Like, he said, I don't need another reason to get high. You're cool. Like,
exactly.
Like, we're not cool.
But
you don't need to blame yourself for this.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, like, when she came in and she was, like, trying to help him, he's like, oh, you care now. That I was him, like, you know, he threw that little backhand on her because, like, yo, you definitely left me out there. But still, understand that. Exactly like you said, we're cool. We're not cool, but you're not you're not like a parasite, basically. Yeah, which is for a man who's high, he be having these lucid moments.
Yeah,
he be really he's like a well-adjusted, you know, junkie or something.
Yeah, because I was like, man, that's a pretty big thing to do, especially since you clearly don't F with her right now. You still try to comfort her in that way. Like, hey, I'm getting high on my own, so Shouts out to Malcolm. And, you know, by the end of the episode, we see what Malcolm's bigger role is, at least for now.
Yeah, man. Which was heartbreaking for me, yo. Like, when once we find out that Malcolm is the spy that Kilgrave put upon her, that was crushing. I mean, she didn't, like, bawl out crying, but, like, that one
single tear. She dropped a tear, yeah.
Yeah, that one single tear might have been the most powerful type of emotional response.
Because I don't think you've seen just sad. You've seen her scared. You've seen her freaked out. But that was just genuine sadness.
Yeah, it's genuine heartbreak. Because then, you know, she's processing everything. She's processing everything that happened between her and Malcolm. And it's like, I don't want to say can she blame him, but as she understands he's being controlled. And then it's, for me, it's like, this is this dude's power. Like, this is Kilgrave's power right there. This is how much he wrecks a person's life.
I think that judgment might be getting slightly ahead.
No, I'm saying, like, Jess's life. Like, Jess's life. Like, being able to control Malcolm, right? And then, like, have her get, in a sense, emotionally attached to Malcolm or whatever. You know what I mean? Because, like, right now, that's what she's thinking. Like, you know, Malcolm's being controlled by Kilgrave. He's Kilgrave's spy. I try to save Malcolm or help him or be kind to him. Then I used him. And then I find out that he is the spy. It's like, her life is just blown apart again.
Yeah, Malcolm, it's so interesting. Malcolm got superpowers too, because how does Malcolm have this effect on Jessica? You know, Trish is a childhood friend. Hope, they both been Kilgrave. But she cared about Malcolm enough where it brought her to tear.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, man. He definitely has some kind of, superpower of emotional attachment or whatever. It's like, it's crazy. And quick thing on Trisha and Jess, like, how far away do they live from each other? Because I feel like you turn around one time and Jess is at Trisha's apartment. Like, how fast is she?
Well, she can jump good.
She can jump good. That. She definitely can jump good. So, yeah, she got the super speed, though.
But it's like, man, that episode of Samurai Jack, and they're like, he can fly, and he's right? Like, not fly, jump good.
Jump good, yeah. For real. Yeah, man, it was just like Kilgrave's effect on people is crazy. And we didn't see him at all in terms of, like, this episode, right? Other than, like, the really quick garbled flashback that she had.
Yeah, which is weird because it made me wonder if she had, like, a Kilgrave sense. Like, she looked at the dude and saw him, and I thought it's probably just the way he's dressed, but it would be really cool if she had a sense of who was Kilgrave. I was like, if she was doing that, she would have never followed Audrey all the way around. So, nah.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt. So, that's and then just thinking about, like, Jess's interaction with Malcolm, and then Malcolm being Kilgrave's spy. And I'm like, even off, and I mean, of course, they planned it this way, but even off camera, you know, no sign of him. Like, he just wrecks her all over again. And I'm like, damn. This dude is scary. In a very singular way.
Yeah. But Jail. I think we actually hit 30 this time about.
Yeah, I think that's about our time on these cats. This episode was definitely not the most, we'll say, I don't want to say action packed, but screw it. Action packed or, you know, suspenseful.
Or even kind of just
moved. Exactly, or gripping. It just moved along methodically. It was kind of like it set the scenes for a lot of other cool things that we're going to see in the future. So yeah, props to that for just being a strong foundation, you know, and keeping you. So if you're going to think about, like, a lull episode, this episode might be the lull real quick.
Yeah, and again, because of all the Audrey Eastman screen time, that episode dragged because Jessica was dragging through some emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were able to chuck those 10 minutes of her, it might have been a cooler episode, but I understand we had to do it because that's where Jess's mind was at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so that's everything that we've got. As always, You can find us on Twitter at @homicidalTHawks. Email us with any comments, questions, you know, suggestions. First person to email us, you know, with the subject title Marvel's Jessica Jones, T-Hawks on Cut, throw in your comments. You're going to get a shout out on air. Check out the blog spot, homicidalcortex.ghost.io, and then check out Lou on his Tumblr. Hit him again with that Tumblr, bro.
Lucius Illuminix, and check out nothing even for our benefit. Like, within the next 12 days, get your butt on Humble Bundle right now. Humble Bundle got the fire package with Image Comics.
Image, yes.
It's yes, like
for 25 bones.
It's like for 25 bucks, you can get like 300 something dollars worth of comics and trades. They got like 47 issues of Invincible on there. Mm-hmm. Like
Saga Volume 4.
Like several Volume 1s, including Bitch Planet and Rat Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's got, I think it might have Monstrous, which is fire. Love that comic book right now. Killing it.
Like, this bundle right now is more than humble. Like, I told Wilson about the bundle. He just took the screenshot of the $25 above part of the package and was like, oh, sweet, I get all this for $25. Like, and everything else on the page, bro. Like, all of it.
Lost my mind when he said that.
Like, that's why the shout out had to be there. This is like a must. Like, 41 issues of Stray Bullets, too. Volume 1 of.
Ooh, yes.
Phonogram, Volume 1 of Witches. They're going to reveal more comics on Wednesday that are part of your bundle. So we haven't even seen everything we about to get yet.
Yeah.
And we don't get no ad space for Humble Bundle. This is like, if you've never read a comic before, you got several Volume 1s to start with.
Yeah, so yeah, do yourself a favor. Humble Bundle. Get that for sure if you're trying to dive into some stuff. And it's Image Comics. It's great writing too, you know. And we don't get any ad space from Image either. It's just that we love these comics. So definitely, if you're trying to check some really fire comics out, do that.
All right. With that, it's Lucius Illuminix.
R.P. Wilson.
And we are signing off for the night.
Peace.